everybody. This is Jace from the Comic Source coming to you live from the floor of New York Comic Con. I'm here with comic writer Vita Ayala. Vita, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining me. So you have the Livewire title, highly anticipated for Valiant fans that are listening right now on Valiant Sunday. You must be really excited to get a chance to take on Livewire.
Incredibly excited. Livewire is actually one of my favorite characters in the Valiant universe, and so to be able to work on a book with her in it is a blessing, truly.
And she's really in unprecedented territory after the events of Harbinger Wars 2.
Yeah.
What's your take on the decision she made?
What's my personal take on the decision that does not reflect on the company? I think that the way that it was set up was really well done. You're reading, you know, the prelude to Harbinger Wars, and you understand why she did it. In that moment where she lays down after she shut off the entirety of the United States and, you know, the satellites are coming down, you are tired with her. You
right.
are with her. And so I, you know, as things continue on, you may or may not agree with what she's doing, but in that moment, I think they did a very good job in setting that up.
So the story you're telling, there's a lot of directions you could go. She could be looking for redemption for the choice she made, forgiveness for the people, maybe justification for why she did it, or maybe she just wants everybody to know why. You know, she backed into the corner, she was tired. You're going to touch on some of those, all of those, one of those?
All of them. I mean, at the core of it, it is a redemption story, because I think it's important to kind of see from her perspective why she did these things, but also acknowledge the larger implication that it has for the Valiant universe and towards the, you know, quote-unquote innocent people that had nothing to do with what's going on.
Right.
And so in order for her to solidify herself as a hero, she has to acknowledge those things, but first she has to see them. And so this is definitely about getting her in that headspace and acknowledging both sides of that.
Your stories are often about people that are oppressed and they're yearning for freedom, or people that have been wronged. And
I have a brand.
They're searching for justice, right? With Livewire and, you know, the recent events that we're talking about, I think it kind of applies to both. Like, she wants justice for her and the other Psyots, but
yeah.
at the same time, those innocent people, they're looking for justice as well. So it seems like a really complex political story, right? Because you can't just take one side. You've got to look
right.
at everything, right?
Right. I think, yeah, I mean, like I was saying, I think it's important to acknowledge both sides, but also, I think when you're dealing with this kind of story, you have to be very careful to not demonize anyone, right? So, like, the metaphor of these people that have these powers is, I mean, they're scary, right? So you kind of sympathize with the idea that people are scared of them, but at the same time, like you said, she wants to protect her people. You know, they were being hunted and killed by the government, and so you do understand where she's coming from. So it's more about empathy and survival than any particular set of politics, I think.
You know, it's kind of reminds me of something that Josh Dysart and I talk about a lot with Toyo Harada, which is, you know, he's talking about, you know, maybe a few people have to die, but then I'm going to set up the utopia. And that's great because it's good in the long run for the human race, unless you're one of those people that gets sacrificed.
And I think that's where Amanda diverges from Toyo. I think that once she realized that would happen, she didn't want any part of that.
Right.
And so what you have then is this action, which did lead to a lot of chaos, was reactive. It wasn't a proactive, we're going to cull the herd and then it'll be great. It was much more like, we just want to be left alone, but I will fight if you put me into a corner
right.
because that's who I am. And so I think that is very much where they diverge as like characters.
You know, another one of the themes that you like to incorporate in your work is inclusion. You know, we've seen it with X-Men in the past, mirroring the civil rights fight in the United States. So really, the Psyots are almost paralleling that in a way as well. And I think even today, it's a fight that we're still fighting, right?
I think what is really interesting about the Psyots, too, is that they're all, almost all of them have latent abilities, and so they have to actively be activated. I find that really fascinating because I think that is a really great kind of, not metaphor, but maybe kind of simile for kind of learning who you really are and acting upon that. And so that to me is really where they're very interesting. And there is a danger in that in the real world, right? So like you can go along and kind of do what you're supposed to do, or you can self-actualize. And if you do that, they will have a variety of responses to that. And right. One of them can be fear and anger and hatred. And again, we see that all the time with people just being like, this is who I am. And then there's a backlash of like, well, that's not what I know, so I don't like that.
Right. Kind of sticking their neck out, so to speak.
Right. And just for being who they are.
Right. Exactly. So remind me who your artist is on the series.
The art team is Raul Allen and Patricio Martin. They do the line work and the colors and the lettering, and they are amazing. I cannot talk about them enough. They truly, to me, when I think about Livewire, I immediately go to Secret Weapons and their portrayal of her. They know that character better than anyone else, I think. They're so amazing and very, very nice to work with. We immediately had kind of a very simpatico relationship, which is really awesome when you're collaborating on something that's, you know, I mean, got a lot of eyes on it, but also something that, like, they had experience in and I didn't. And they were very welcoming, and they wanted to talk about ideas and that kind of stuff. So it's really awesome. They're great.
Yeah, and adding some continuity, because like you said, they run the secret weapons.
Yes.
How do you plan on structuring the story? Is it, are you looking at it as one long narrative, or are there shorter arcs, you know, examining each of these ideas that you want to touch on?
I think for the first one, what we're going to do, there is a through line throughout the series, mm-hmm. But there are kind of smaller arcs that interweave, and each arc will examine the question, but also come back to our thesis. So it's very cohesive, but you can read one arc and be satisfied.
Yeah,
right.
Great.
Well, I really want to thank you for your time, Vita. Is there anything else that you want to share with Valiant fans?
You know, I was a fan of, you know, the universe and the character before I was a writer, so I really hope that they know that I'm trying to do it justice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, if any of our Valiant listeners want to follow you on social media, find out when books are coming out and everything, where's the best place?
It's Twitter or Instagram. My Instagram is completely open, and both of them are at Definitely Vita. And if you can't get me on Twitter, I do use blockchain. That has just made my life easier. I'm a very anxious person, but my Instagram is completely open.
So. Great. And listeners, I'll put links to Vita's social media in the show notes so you can go there and find it. Thank you so much for your time. It was
Thank
great
you.
Talking to you.
It's been a pleasure.
All right, cool.
Great.